circle once again with a program based upon what the Bible teaches. This is all brought to you by your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ, and we trust you'll keep in mind that the congregation that brings you this broadcast is profoundly interested in you and your entire family. We ask you to contact these brethren if you have questions regarding the Bible. They're willing to come and study the Bible in your home in a personal Bible study. It's an interesting thing because we're aware of the fact in Acts 5 and 42, the apostles set the wonderful example in the face of all adversity. When it says daily in the temple and from house to house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And on the broadcast today, as we deal with another timely topic for troubled times, we're going to be looking as we are living in times that, well, had some similarity with that of the first century. There's opposition today to Christianity. There was great opposition then to the work of the Lord in the first century. Now let's keep this thought in mind. In face of all adversity, the apostles did continue to sound forth the truth and set a wonderful example before their brethren. The apostle Paul said to Timotheus before he died, he said, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous Lord shall give, the judge shall give, and of course for all those who love his appearing. He told Timotheus to do the work of an evangelist to make full proof of his ministry. Now this has a lot to do with a great work that we want to talk about on the broadcast today. You know, I remember some years ago being called upon to speak at a memorial service for a young husband and father who had been killed in a tragic accident. I remember the people who came to the chapel for the service were awe-stricken in realizing that this life that was so valuable for the Lord had been snuffed out at an early age. And I heard two sisters talking before the service began and saying, isn't it a bad thing to think that this father was taken who has two young children who really need a father? You know, it was difficult to know what to say in that service, not because the man had not lived for the Lord, but to realize it was such a tragic experience that had shocked the entire community. The thought finally came to my mind, even though this young man, husband and father, was indeed young in years, yet he had already performed the greatest task that he could perform in this life, and that was to become a Christian. So we tried to offer consolation to the widow and to the family and to brethren and to friends, and there were those who realized from the impact of God's teaching, as it was pointed out to them, that truly the greatest thing that had ever been done or could be done in the life of a person had already been done in his life. He had spent much of his time even on the job and talking to people about the Lord as opportunity afforded itself, and truly stood as a good example and golden memorial before those who were left behind. So I want to say the greatest work that we have in the world today is indeed to become a Christian. It is actually a work because we obey from our heart because of our faith. And as someone said not too long ago, that faith would be dead if it were not prompted with action. Paul made it very clear in Galatians 5 and 6 that he says our faith works by love. Now it's a great work, probably the greatest work we can do, to obey the glorious gospel of Christ with full faith in the Lord. But there also is a great work that is so needed, and that's the proclamation of God's word. I'm always impressed when I realize that the Savior had given the commission to the apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, as we have in Mark 16:15. Also, another rendering of the very same principle is found in the 28th chapter of Matthew, where Jesus also said before he went back to heaven to his apostles, I want you to teach all nations. I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want you to teach them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you, and he promised to be with them. I want to say on the broadcast today that the apostles were a great influence upon individual brethren. We've told you in past broadcasts that we do not understand the New Testament to teach that there was such a thing as a clergy and laity. We're also aware of the fact that every Christian becomes a saint, even as we have in Philippians 1 and 1, the saints in Christ Jesus which were at Philippi. But then there's the bishops and the deacons that are mentioned there who have a special work to perform. They're servants, they're ministers, as much as anyone else. The work of the bishops or elders is certainly to oversee the spiritual needs of the congregation. The work of the deacon seems to be in the area of leading out in the meeting of physical needs that may confront the church. We're aware of the fact that every Christian does have a ministry to perform. We're going to be dealing from time to time as we unfold various series on this station to bring before your mind just how great your ministry as a man or woman in the Lord can truly be. Your service to the Lord as a newborn babe in Christ, your service to the Lord as a teenager serving the Lord. So there's something to be provided for each and every one and by each and every one within their ability. In the wonderful verse that tells us basically to speak as the Bible speaks, we also have something that tells us what we are to do. I'd like to call your attention on the broadcast once again today to 1 Peter 4:11, where the Apostle Peter makes it very clear in saying, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." That's what we say. We must speak according to the Word of God. But then he says in the last part of that same 11th verse, "If any man minister or serve, let him do it as of the ability that God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified." So the great work that I want to key in on today, not that it is the greatest work that could be done, but it leads up to the greatest act that any person could perform to become a Christian. You know, we mentioned on one of the past broadcasts, I don't remember how far back, about the so-called first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. This was indeed an outstanding work, and I want to read the excerpt here from the 14th chapter of Acts as this journey is completed, and to note really what the reaction was on the part of the brethren, and also what the activity was of the apostles, namely the Apostle Paul, who is referred to as an apostle of Jesus Christ, and Barnabas, who even though he was not an apostle of Jesus Christ, was indeed would be looked upon as an apostle of the church. You see, the word apostle in itself means one who is sent. But the 12 apostles, as we look at them, were men who were not alone sent, but they actually were witnesses of even the resurrection of Christ from the dead. I want to pick up the thread of thought here in verse 26 from the 14th chapter of Acts, where Paul and Barnabas are returning back to Antioch in Syria, from whence they were sent in the beginning of the 13th chapter. Let's see them sailing in now to Antioch. It says, "And then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled." And then it says in verse 27, "And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples." It tells us what they even did in this metropolis of Antioch in Syria that some have told us was probably 500,000 people. In the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, in verse 35, it says this, "Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also." So as we said, there is not the mention of a clergy or laity in the New Testament, recognizing that all were brethren in the Lord, all were servants in the Lord, whatever their ability happened to be and could be, they used to the glory of God. But this work that Paul and Barnabas performed, with many others also, and even on this first journey as they returned to Antioch, was a work that included a number of things. I think I mentioned to you just recently an assignment that we asked that you read, and I hope that you did, in the 14th chapter of this same book of Acts. I'm going to be looking now at the teaching that's found here in a very thought-provoking way in verse 21. So get that reference in mind. You may want to write it down in Acts 14 and 21. It's referring to the city of Derbe here as we start out. "And when they had preached the gospel of that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch." So there was preaching and teaching in verse 21. Verse 22, "confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." That 22nd verse with the terminology, "confirming the souls of the disciples," shows a very splendid individual impact. The souls of the disciples would indicate to us that this teaching was not alone done publicly, but also even privately. Like the reference we gave you at the outset of the broadcast, the apostles daily in the temple and from house to house cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. There is the evidence of public proclamation. There is the evidence of teaching, even in the homes. To confirm the souls of the disciples means to strengthen them. And we have a term that's often used in our society today that simply is called indoctrination, instilling a teaching, instilling a doctrine, in this case, into the souls of the disciples. And then their exhortation or their teaching for the Christian life was to continue in the faith. You see, it doesn't mean a great deal if a person simply obeys the gospel of Christ and makes a beginning, but is not faithful to the Lord. The Apostle Peter showed us how disastrous this is when he wrote in 2 Peter 2:22. He gave us really a picture of, well, of sin, and even in the lives of people who at one time had begun to serve the Lord. He said it's happened unto them according to the true proverb, "The sow that was washed has returned to her wallowing in the mire, and the dog has returned to his vomit." How terrible that circumstance is, realizing that one can truly fall away from the Lord, he must be faithful to God. And when this course was followed here, with preaching, teaching, confirming the souls of disciples, and exhorting them to faithfulness, then it simply says in verse 23, "And when they had ordained them elders in every city, or every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." So we're saying that the great work that the apostles were given by Christ is that which reflected not alone into the lives of the apostles, but in the lives of brethren. One thing that would prove this to be true is that if you read quite closely the opening verses of the 8th chapter of Acts, and I'd like to give that assignment to you. You know, if you know the early accounts in the book of Acts, then in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts, Stephen had made his wonderful defense, which ended with his stoning. And then as the 8th chapter begins, it tells us about the wave of persecution that broke forth upon the church in Jerusalem. It says the disciples were scattered. It mentions except the apostles in verse 1. So note the apostles remained in Jerusalem at the outset, but those that were scattered abroad, according to Acts 8:4, went everywhere preaching the word. Who were these people that were scattered abroad? Who were these people that performed this great work? I believe they were men and women. I believe there were individuals who did not go forth necessarily as ordained evangelists. Even though we have the mention of Philip in the 8th chapter, they did go back to their home communities. One very refreshing thought on this that you might ponder is that many authorities recognize that there were people from the city of Rome in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, as you read in the 2nd chapter of Acts. When Paul wrote the Roman epistle, he had never visited the congregation at Rome, and yet there was a congregation there. It is considered by many that some who were scattered abroad as individual brethren in the Lord took the story of the cross back to the capital city in the world at that time, and individual brethren may have been responsible for planting the gospel in that great and powerful city. Whatever the case might be, you see, Christianity begins in the heart, and since there's a personal aspect to it, we understand it strengthens us as we grow and develop in the Lord. Again, I'd like to cite Philippians 1:27, where Paul wants their conversation or their manner of living as Christians to be according to the gospel. We're going to have to leave you on the broadcast today, but as we do, we trust that you will ponder what has been said. If you have questions, send them in. Be in the house of the Lord. Your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ have brought you this broadcast and invite you to their services. Tell a friend and neighbor about the broadcast and be with us next time as we deal once again with another vital truth, a timely topic for even troubled times.